Well, today we are going to bring you a story of perseverance in the face of infertility. It was a long road for this Southeastern fertility couple, and I think you're going to be inspired by how it turned out. Hi, I'm Mark Mellinger. This is Hope, Faith, and Infertility, a podcast from Southeastern Fertility in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my guests are Charity and Rhett Ramsey. It was a long road for you guys. You were with us for several years. Talk about it. Let's go back to the beginning.
Gosh, I don't even remember when we first started coming. I went to my OBGYN first, and she actually knew Dr. Keenan personally. I did Clomid with her for a few months, and then she referred us to Dr. Keenan in 2019, I think.
That's right.
It's been such a long journey. It's hard to keep all the dates straight. So we started going there, loved it. We're about 2.5 hours, two hours away. So long journey, but multiple trips, but it was well worth it in the end. We started with I don't know what the details you want to know, but we started with oral medications. We did all the tests. We did genetic testing, all the things for infertility, things like that. We did four IUIs. I actually had surgery at one point. Dr. Keenan went in there and just checked everything out to see what was going on and why we just couldn't get pregnant. We actually did one IVF cycle in October 2020 that was unsuccessful. I kind of wanted to just take a pause, so we held off for a few months, and then we started back at the beginning of 2021 and then did IVF in February and was successful with our little boys.
You were, yes, with Truett.
Yes.
And you know, great looking little guy, and we'll talk about him shortly. Let me take a step back though. This was something that I assume you all were not expecting when you got married. Red, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we got married in September of 2016. Mm-hmm. Coming up on 6 years next week. And things were kind of hectic. We'd been living in Lexington, Kentucky, where Charity was working as a nurse. I was finishing up law school. We moved back to our hometown where I started practicing, and Charity took a new job. And, you know, after a little while, we decided that we wanted to start a family. So we began trying and had no success. And Charity started having those conversations with her OBGYN, who I think had maybe done residency or something like that under Dr. Keenan. And so she put us in touch with Southeastern Fertility, and we started going down. And certainly an unexpected journey, but it's tough, but it kind of makes things a lot sweeter in the end.
A lot of people have said that the hard work of getting there, if you're encountering infertility, does make the result sweeter. And now you have your little boy. What did it do to your faith? I know you're both Christ followers. I'd like each of you to talk about that, because that's one of the goals of this podcast, is to create a space where believers can talk about how this affected their faith. Because what you say is almost certainly going to resonate with somebody else and let them know, hey, I'm not alone.
Yeah, sure. So I mean, I think it definitely strengthened both of us. And we've got an amazing church family where we live here in Monticello. Actually, some of the people involved in our church that we didn't know about had gone through similar issues, had gone through fertility problems. And that's another whole side thing, is going through all this, you learn how many other people struggle with many of the same things that, you know, you're going through during the period. To varying degrees. So in that time, we started having a lot more conversations with more people in our church, which then led us to get more involved. And it certainly, you know, strengthened our prayer life and our faith. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Not everybody runs to God when things are going great. A lot of people run closer to Him whenever things are going bad. And so that's one really positive thing that comes out of this, is you rely on that. You use your faith and you use those relationships with people that share the same faith as you, and it strengthens you in that way. And I think that's something that we definitely both encountered throughout this 3-year journey that we went on.
Charity, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of kept it private for a long time. And then probably around the time I had surgery and before we started IVF, we started talking publicly about it. I started like a little Instagram story and Facebook stories about the procedures and things we were going through. And so many people in the community reached out to us and told us, you know, they struggled. And I'm sorry, I'm still just emotional. But
nope, that's fine. Let it flow.
But our church really helped us. Our preacher and his wife actually went through the same thing. So we met with them multiple times and had dinner and just talked about things. And but they prayed for us. Our youth group, our Sunday school prayed for us. And then actually, once we had Truett, they did like a meal train and brought us meals for 2 or 3 weeks every night to celebrate him being here. So it was awesome.
That is the body of Christ, being the hands and feet of Jesus, putting flesh to it. And I think it's a wonderful testament to the power of being involved in a church congregation. You know, if you are a follower of Christ and you're not actively involved or plugged into a church family, there's immense value in it. And listening to you two talk about that really drives this home. And Charity, I'm glad that you shed some tears here, because I think this is important. Look, you mentioned you went through a long road, several IUIs, you had a surgery, you had a failed IVF. I'm sure there were many times when the two of you were just like, is this ever going to happen? And you grieve those times when there are failures, right?
Oh, yeah. You do. It's hard. And it's like after our first failed IVF, I was almost 95% sure I didn't want to do it ever again. I was like, I'm done. But we kind of just took a break. And then after, I guess it's November or Christmas, we decided we'd give it one more shot and see what God would do for us. And he answered our prayers. So we've got our little boy, and he's the best. So.
And Rhett, I heard a little rumor that you actually ran for political office while you were going through all this. Is that right?
Yeah, which was not the smartest idea. But, you know, that was it was tough. It was tough doing that. But also at the same time, we kind of discussed that before I got into that election, and it gave us a break from everything that we'd been dealing with the fertility. So, you know, maybe that was a good thing for us to take a break in the midst of that, because we were really close to being burnt out, I think, at that point. I don't want to say that Charity was especially burnt out, but, you know, she had it a lot harder through this process than I did. I always tell everybody I had the easy way out in this, you know. We live 2 hours away from Knoxville. There were multiple times I remember that Charity would have to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning and drive to Knoxville, be at the clinic first thing. And then she may come back home and then that afternoon get a phone call and say, hey, this has come up, or we've got this result, we need you back down here. So, you know, making 2 round trips from here to Knoxville in a day is pretty tough. There was the time when she went down to Knoxville and we had a terrible snow and ice storm here in Monticello. And so she wound up stuck at a hotel for about 4 days in Knoxville while I was at home. So there was a lot of that. But back to the political thing, it wound up, you know, we lost that election, but that probably wound up being a good thing for us. We had more time to focus on what was important, and, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Well, and you're young, so if you want to do it again, I mean, you certainly can.
I don't know. Charity says I'm not allowed to.
Well, then as somebody who's been married for 24 years, I would say don't do it. You have to listen to your wife. For pretty miserable. I'm sure you know that. So, hey, what was it like when you finally got the positive result from the second IVF?
Well, that's kind of a whole nother story. We had the positive, but my levels were so low that Dr. Keenan and Linda were not convinced that it took. So I had to get multiple HCGs drawn. And then I had a hemorrhage. And so Dr. Keenan was, he was like, I don't know. He was like, with everything going on, the extra, I had like an extra yolk. So he's like, you're really high risk to miscarry. So we prayed and prayed and prayed, and everything turned out great. Around 10 weeks, Dr. Keenan was like, well, you beat all the odds. And so we got to graduate and go on. So it was a little, it was exciting when we first found out, but then it was also worrisome with everything else going on. So
did you ever feel like you were home free?
I think like after, I don't even, not until I had him, honestly.
I would say when he was born, yeah.
I worried the whole pregnancy, yes, stressed out, so.
Yeah, and I actually was just looking back. I've got my phone pulled up. I've got a picture of the positive home pregnancy test. That was March 5th of 2021.
Yeah.
And I remember Charity had been off work that day, I think, or she had gotten off early. She was home when I got home. And there was something on the kitchen table. I can't remember if it was a card or a box or something. And I opened it up and there was like a thing that said, hey, dad, or you're the best at something like that. And it had the test. And I just remember we kind of just stood there in the dining room and hugged each other and cried for a little bit. And then, like she said, you know, it was kind of one thing after the other after that that gave us pause and made us worry. But I've told so many people, for all the issues that we had getting pregnant, all the obstacles that there were, all the hurdles to jump over, once we finally got that positive test, everything after that, even though they said the odds were kind of stacked against us, everything fell into place and everything went very smooth. You know, she kept overcoming stuff, and Truett kept overcoming stuff, and everything worked out great.
So he's almost 10 months now. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your son so far.
Well, he's like the best little boy. You want to go get him? He's actually here with us.
Yeah.
But he's got a little blonde hair, blue-eyed boy. He's rotten. He's teething, so he's a little snotty today. But he's already crawling and trying to stand up. And he's of course, mama was his first word. So, you know, that was the best for me. So.
Does he even say dada yet?
He does. It came like a few days later, but mama was first. So yeah, but he's a good little boy. So
oh man, he's adorable. Yeah. Those of you who are watching on the video version are able to see him. He just looks sort of wild. He's like, who's this strange guy talking to my parents? Well, Rick, how's it feel having a son?
It's been surreal ever since last November when he was born. People always said that there was never anything like having a child and your whole life changes immediately. And that was 100% correct. I will say everything went very smooth and normal and no issues with the pregnancy until we discovered at like 38 weeks or 36 mm-hmm. something that he was breech. And so then plan shifted to a C-section, which again, I had the easy way out and Charity had to go through the hard stuff again. But that's become pretty commonplace with us. But no, it's awesome. Every day is kind of a new adventure. And we were looking back at some pictures last night, just how much he has changed over the past few months. And it's kind of hard to believe that little baby we've got pictures of from November is the same little baby that we've got now. Big
no
baby
kidding.
We've got now.
Yeah, man, he's fully into toddlerhood. And I understand. Yeah. I'd be squirming too if I was just sitting here. So thanks for letting us see him, though. He's a horrible kid. And, you know, I got to ask you, I think you chose a great middle name for him. I just have to ask, is it after one of our former presidents?
Oh yes,
the best former president.
I am so heartened to hear you say that. Red, you know, Ronald Reagan, when I was a little kid into my teenage years, was the first president I really remembered. So he's who I grew up with. He was always my favorite, still is. As well. And I've read many biographies on Reagan. So when they told me that his middle name was Reagan, I was like, well, I've got this. He's run for political office. I've got to ask, is it after the great one? And it is.
Yeah, he's after the Gipper.
There'll never be another one quite like him. And that's right. Pretty good namesake. I love this story. Is there anything else that you'd want to drive home or any counsel you'd have for somebody who might be now in your shoes of a few years ago, who's you know, it's not happening and they're wondering, do we really want to go down this road? It can be a long road, and you've said that. Any counsel you'd have as we prepare to wrap it up?
It is very hard. It's emotionally straining. It's financially straining. It's exhausting, but I mean, everybody says, don't give up. And you think, I'm done. I want to give up, but you just got to keep remaining positive and try not to worry, which is hard. And I know, like, as struggling with infertility, people will say, just relax, it'll happen. Or if it's in God's will, it'll happen. And that gets frustrating sometimes to hear, but you know, I just say, don't give up, you know, just keep praying, keep strong in your faith and have a good support system. That really matters a lot, I think. So.
Yeah. Those comments are well-meaning, but they're usually not helpful. It's good to point that out as well. Red, how about you?
Yeah. I just kind of echo what she said. You know, you hear all the time, don't give up. It'll happen. Everything's going to work out. And it does get tiring hearing that, but we're sort of living proof, and true, it's living proof that can happen. And you just got to keep on and trust the process. And I was guilty of that, of not trusting it. I always wondered, you know, why are they doing this, or why are we going this route, or something like that. And I mean, I see fertility treatment as sort of a mixture of science and art. You know, there's definitely the science of it and what causes this to happen and that, but not every course of treatment works the same way for every case of infertility. And I think that's kind of the issue that was with our first IVF cycle, was that, you know, Charity reacted different from how some other women would react. And so there had to be some fine tuning done for the second round, and then it worked. So trust the process, trust your doctors, keep the faith, stay positive, and take it day by day.
Yeah, persevere. That's really what's at the heart of your story. And I love the faith community and how they really helped you and brought you closer to God, and God drew you closer to himself through all this. It's a terrific story. Charity and Rhett, thank you so much. By the way, if you're listening to this or watching and would like more information, you can go ahead and go to southeasternfertility.org. We'd love to evaluate your situation. Dr. John Gordon, who is Dr. Keenan's partner, offers free consultations and would be happy to sit down and take like a 15-minute overview of your situation. Again, that's southeasternfertility.org. I'm Mark Mellinger, and this has been Hope, Faith, and Infertility.